The apartment rebellion will not be televised. Resident experience will be more than a buzzword. Staff experience will finally matter. It's happening right now. It's in the hands of the doers, the innovators, the boundary pushers, who are moving the industry forward, just like the people on this show. This is the Apartment Rebels Podcast, hosted by Flamingo CEO Jude Chi. Welcome, friends of the rebellion, and may the force be with you.
Welcome to the latest episode of Flamingo's Apartment Rebels Podcast. So really excited to have Ned Murphy on the podcast. So Ned comes from Duello. They do home automation. And so he'll talk a lot more about that. Mm-hmm. But really excited because you guys have a pretty big announcement today. Yep. And I wanted to start with what you actually do. So at Duello, you started off as the head of sales, but now you are the chief revenue officer. Yep. So what is a chief revenue officer?
Sure. Yeah, and it's interesting. I was friends with the co-founder of Duello. We came up through Salesforce together. And he started the company. I was aware of it. It was actually a friends and family investor in Duello before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, way back in the day. And when it became time to try to go out and acquire customers, they brought me on board. And that was really my focus. And then over time, I actually became our chief operating officer. I was our COO for a couple of years, which gave me more exposure to all of the various sort of disciplines within the company. And then as we started to scale, it became clear that focusing on growth and making sure that the different sort of domains within Duello that are responsible for driving that growth are working together in an integrated way. And I think that's really the way I think about the chief revenue officer role that I do now. So overseeing sales, marketing, product, business development, the way I think about it is each of those functions have their own roadmaps and they're going to have strategic initiatives that they're going to be working on. But there are so many dependencies between them in order to do an effective job of understanding the needs from the customer, designing that into the products that we develop and that we bring to market, and then sort of integrating that into the overall brand and the messaging. Ultimately, that sales is sort of bringing out there and hopefully, you know, delivering to the customer in a way that resonates. So just making sure that all of those things are being done in a sort of orchestrated way, so that we're all on the same page, that's my primary focus.
Nice. And then taking a little bit of a step back, so for people that are not familiar, what is Duello?
Sure. Yeah, so Duello is the original smart apartment provider for the multifamily industry. So I think this is my fifth OpTech. Five OpTechs ago, there was one smart apartment provider in that expo hall there. And we were trying to convince people why you needed a platform to do home automation in multifamily. Because the problem that we observed is that you have these various waves of home automation that came. But with that, you really never saw something that was set up from a technology standpoint to serve multiple stakeholders in multifamily. So, you know, most notably, there was the sort of wave of there was this wave that came with Nest, right? Mm-hmm. Nest was created, it was bought by Google. It really started to bring home automation into the consumer's home. But that product was designed for the owners of a single family home. Mm-hmm. So when people wanted to try to bring that into multifamily, what they saw is that when you have the buyer is different than the manager is different than the person that's living in the residence, you have all of these needs for these different stakeholders. And if you just take a standard consumer device or even some of the standard commercial devices, it doesn't work. So that was the opportunity that we observed. And we spent a number of years just trying to educate the industry on, don't just take 300 Nests and put them into a community because it's going to be more trouble than it's worth. And it's really fun to see how much the industry has evolved, where there's this acceptance that platforms like Duello are essential. And now it's just more of education around what's the right way to approach implementing smart apartments within the sort of broader infrastructure of the building. And so there's been a lot of progress there. I think we're still having a lot of the same conversations, but it's come a long way in a short amount of time.
Yeah. So two questions then related to that. So taking an even bit of a step back, like what is home automation?
Yeah.
So at the very core and very basic, like what is home automation and what's the benefit of it?
Yeah, I think home automation it has been around for a very long time, and you could take that in a whole bunch of different directions. I would think about home automation for multifamily. Sort of specifically, the way that we got into it was take lights, locks, thermostats in the units, take those things, connect them back to the internet so that you can give control of those devices from a central application for managers and for residents. And the basic value proposition around that is residents get to live in a smart apartment that is fully integrated. Managers get to use their own applications in order to save time, save energy, manage vacant units more effectively, make the entire community more secure. And then owners, ultimately, when you can show something that drives revenue in the form of a premium amenity while also reducing costs, you're going to get their attention.
Nice. Yeah. And then, so why shouldn't an owner go out and just buy 300 Nest thermostats and install them?
Yeah, so I think that comes back to this sort of fundamental premise, where there is the need for the platform, because the way that you actually go about installing a Nest, it's designed for a homeowner to go buy the Nest, register the account, put it in the wall, and then manage it themselves. Yeah. If you were to go and try to do that, like in the early days, people would do that. They would set up 300 accounts, and then someone would move in. They would take control of that Nest. They would move out. And there's no central way to, for instance, make sure that that Nest is then controlled by the next resident who moves in. So you start to put that at scale, and all of a sudden, the ability to sort of manage hundreds of devices, if you're doing more than thermostats, if you're doing locks, if you're doing light switches, everything else, all of a sudden there's thousands of devices. And if you don't have the ability to administer those at scale, it just becomes such a problem to be sort of setting each apartment up every single time as though it's this custom home. It just doesn't fit within the natural rhythms of the way that multifamily communities are run.
Nice. And then, so how does Duello fit into that? So, what does it look like from a resident? So I move into an apartment that has Duello.
Yep.
What does it look like before I move in? What does it look like when I move in? And what does it look like after?
I think it's helpful to even step back before that. So we have a lot of users of our applications, but the customer is ultimately the owner of the building.
Yeah.
They're the ones that buy the devices from us. They're the ones that pay the recurring SaaS fees associated with our platform. And they're making selections about what are the types of devices that we want to be putting into, what's the infrastructure we want to be putting into the building. The most common is that you have a handful of devices at the unit level, lights, locks, thermostats, leak sensors, things like that. But also what we're seeing to be more and more common is they're having the building access control system be integrated with those in-unit devices so that a resident is using the same mobile application to get through the front door as they're using to get into their unit. If there's a service provider that needs to get in to deliver a package or a pizza or what have you, you're able to sort of control that all from the Duello interface. So the owners are really making those types of investment decisions in their community. And then Duello works with them to really then focus on the project management and implementation, the training of the staff so they understand how to use those tools just to run the facility effectively. And then ultimately, how do you position this when you're leasing up units in order to get residents excited about living in your community, not just because of the location or the pool or the other amenities, but also because they're gonna be able to live with this technology that is still quite novel. You know, it's not in the majority of units that are out there. So we really focus on getting that first two-thirds of the process nailed. Because if we do that, then when the resident moves in, they get a welcome email to download the Duello application on day one they move in, and they have full control of the range of devices that have been implemented, and they're using the Duello application or the voice applications we have set up with Google Home and Amazon Alexa to control the devices in their apartment.
So all integrated across the board, like with a property management system and everything else that residents get access.
So we look to try and do integrations that are going to be meaningful for the resident, sort of thinking of them as the consumer, but then also integrations with different softwares that are going to be helpful from the administration of the overall system. So integrating with the Yardies and the RealPages to make sure that when a resident is moved into one of those systems, they don't also have to move them into Duello. That's just going to be synced. When a resident moves out, they're going to have their ability to control the devices in that unit revoked. And that's where you start to see, without the platform, just the simple thing of moving someone in, moving somebody out. It can be pretty laborious, and you start to do it over 300 units. You're doing it multiple times each month. It becomes something that can be streamlined, or it's something that can be a hassle.
So thinking about this from an owner perspective, like from a resident perspective, it just makes sense.
Sure.
It makes your life easy. You have one place to go to unlock your door, mm-hmm. a place to control the thermostat or other things sure. in the apartment. Yeah. So pretty simple. Mm-hmm. From the owner perspective, when I think about this, I'm thinking, oh, I have to buy XYZ number of thermostats. I have to pay for this software, I have to pay for this.
Yeah.
So how do you all measure NOI and what has been some of that feedback?
Yeah, so in the early days, because I think a lot of the interest was more closely associated with people want Nests, people want home automation products. So we spent a lot of time working through doing surveys and talking to owners and talking with residents about how much do you value this as an amenity? And over time, there was enough data that came together, and you know, NMHC does surveys every year now where they say, how much more would you be willing to spend if you were able to live in a smart apartment? And the numbers have come back over the years, but it's around $30. So that's part of the, when you look at what most owners look at, which is NOI, you're looking at revenue and you're looking at cost. So that's the obvious one on the revenue side. But the value proposition is multi-threaded, and when you really start to get into the value of those sort of core infrastructure devices, you're also looking at being able to reduce your energy spend in vacant units in a material way by just having automations to say, when this unit is vacant, the temperature is going to set back to this many degrees every single day. So if you have a painter go in, they're doing a job, they're in Arizona, it's super hot, they crank the AC, they leave. Unless you are manually going and checking that in every single vacant unit, what's going to happen is you're going to have that bill get run up because there's no one there to bill it to. You're going to have to take that. So there's an energy savings component. There's risk mitigation when it comes to leaks. So putting leak sensors in strategic places within the units. The standard community experiences 4 leak events that average about $10,000 a pop.
Oh, wow.
And if you have a catastrophic leak event, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. Self-touring is something that we do, and that's really looking at accelerating how quickly you're leasing up vacant units. Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, depending on what your rent is, if you can shave the amount of time that unit sits vacant from, you know, 10 days to 7 days, there starts to be some really meaningful, you know, revenue acceleration, but then also cost savings associated with that. So we look at the sort of full NOI stack, and what we've seen is that there's a lot of good data and evidence that we can kind of hit that in a bunch of different places. So ultimately, depending on the package you look at, you're going to get a payback in less than 36 months, which is pretty good given what these guys typically look to evaluate in terms of capital improvements for their projects.
So then for most of your customers, when did you implement something like Duello? Are they able to instantly increase rents? Are they charging it back to the residents as like a technology fee? Or how are most of your customers able to implement this?
Yeah, it really depends. So we do a lot of work in, we do new construction. We do existing communities. We do a retrofit process. And the way in which that strategy is deployed is going to be sort of dependent on the type of project, but it's also going to vary owner to owner. Some folks like to put together tech packages, like early in the day, especially in Salt Lake City, bulk internet was a thing like 6 years ago. Oh, it's now becoming a thing everywhere. But what they would often do is they would bundle together smart apartment into a managed Wi-Fi package. And they would just sort of say, like, this technology package is going to be an additional however many dollars and it's going to be baked into your rent, but they would line item it out. Some other folks decide that they just are going to absorb it into the rent. They use their various software tools to sort of figure out, you know, where should the rent be, and then let's attribute a little bit more to this investment we're making in smart apartments. So the way that they bundle it, the way they present it to the resident sort of depends, but most folks are looking to either help to justify being at the top rent levels within a given submarket, or they're just actively saying, we're buying a community. This is historically what the rent level's been. We're going to make these investments in it. The smart home is going to be one of them, or the smart package is going to be one of them. So we're going to bring the rent up $35, $40, $50, depending on what kind of improvements they're doing. So that's the typical way it happens when you're looking at doing it in an occupied community. There are agreements about, you can't increase rent until the time of renewal. So like I said, it really just depends on the situation.
Yeah. And then for owners, you mentioned a few different immediate benefits.
Yeah.
So whether it's reducing our utility costs mm-hmm. or detecting leaks site early.
Yeah.
So for the majority of your customers, like what are those core one to two things that they see immediately as a benefit?
Yeah, I think that there are the things that you can measure. You get utility bills, you work with, some rebuild collects, you work with a conservice, they're gonna be able to tell you, this is how much money you spend in your vacant units every year. You put Dwello in, you're gonna start to see those numbers change. That's tangible, you can measure that. Yeah. You should have data on how much money you allocate to do, repairs for leak damage. You're going to be able to sort of see, are you actually using that budget now with Dwello or not? So those things are very clear. I think one of the other tangible benefits that is a little bit harder to quantify is just when you're using, when you have access control that's being sort of managed with the phone and being done digitally, you're just going to have more time for staff to spend closing leads and getting people into units and not having to walk back to the leasing office to check out a key from key scan because you forgot to bring it when you're on the other side of the community. So we've done a bunch of different surveys that look at how much time do we save.
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder to draw that directly to the bottom line. But it's a big deal for staff. It's also just a big deal to facilitate guests visiting service providers. More and more people are coming to deliver packages, to deliver food, whatever it might be. So that's a big benefit. I think it's becoming expected when folks go and look at moving into a new community. They want to be able to have a modern access control there. They want to be able to use their phone to get in and get out of the building. They don't want to have to carry a key. They don't carry a key for anything in their life. They don't want to do it anymore. So I think that those are the main benefits. This is, of course, an amenity. The access part's an amenity. Living in a smart apartment is an amenity. And then there are those sort of hard savings that are a little bit easier to quantify.
Yeah.
But I'd say those are the four that really sort of stick out for most of the customers.
Yeah. And then on the resident side, so obviously it's super fun or super simple for them to just have that mm-hmm. one interface to access and control all those things. What have been some of the surprising feedback you've received from residents?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we think a lot about is to what extent does the consumer have an expectation about what a smart home experience will be? Were they living in a smart home before? Had they become advanced users of Amazon or Google Home or Apple HomeKit? And so your feedback could be, how robust the offering is, sort of all the things you can do with home automation, sort of pushing on that front. But more often, I think people are just getting used to it and the ability to just do the essential things on a day-to-day basis, like control their thermostats, control their locks, control their lighting, is something that they're really excited about. Nailing onboarding is always huge.
Yep. So and I actually think, know what it is.
Yeah, knowing what it is, being educated on how to, how to benefit from it. One of the things that we focus on our tagline is simple, seamless, smart apartments. If it's not simple, residents aren't gonna use it. If it's not simple, managers aren't gonna be able to explain it. We're not gonna be able to explain it when they're onboarding. So I would say feedback from residents is where we nail that onboarding, the feedback's great. Where we don't nail that onboarding, the feedback can range from confusion to frustration.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things, when you set out the outline for this podcast is what do we do differently? And we strive to do a bunch of things differently, but one of the things that we really focus on is thinking about how you do implementation in a way that you are going to get adoption from the staff and from residents.
Yeah.
And you cannot shortcut that. You can't skip those steps when you are doing something like smart apartments. Yeah. It's not a software app that you can light up across the entire building with the flip of a switch. It takes project management, it takes advanced planning, it takes a lot of training, it takes an investment in time. And we really work to be that sort of one hand to shake, the guide for the owners, for the managers, and then for the residents to make sure that they're getting the value that we hope that they get when we sell them the product.
And you cannot understate that. One of the big things that we see on a regular basis when we talk with property managers is, hey, we have X, Y, or Z, but you talk to the residents and they have never heard of it.
Yeah,
like ever.
Yep.
So I think you're absolutely right how important the onboarding and implementation is, both for the residents and then also on the property manager side. So on the property manager side, one of the challenges in the industry is that turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So one day you are working with XYZ, the next day he or she's like gone.
Sure.
How would you manage that?
Yeah. I mean, I would say anybody that says that they've come up with a way to nail that every time is lying.
That's what I was asking to see if you guys have solved
that. I'm not going to say that. And I think one of the things that's interesting about these conferences is I think we often focus at the sort of 30,000 feet, the technology, what it's capable of, where it's going. I think the conversation needs to come down into the more granular details of like, how do we intend to actually try to benefit from this technology? Because if you don't focus on those details, you're never going to get the high level benefits that everybody has a lot of fun going to conferences and hearing about. So with that in mind, one of the things that we really focused on in the early days was, how do we design our company and create roles that are going to facilitate different parts of the customer journey in a way that reflects the needs of the industry? So we know that if you have an engaged staff, you're going to have engaged residents, you're going to have happy customers. Yeah. If you don't have an engaged staff, you know how that goes. So we actually, early on, we created a community success manager role, and every single community that works with Dwello has a CSM that's assigned to it. Those CSMs sort of take the ball from our regional sales managers and our implementation managers once we get to a certain point in the install process. They're the ones that are doing training on site with the staff. They're doing refresher trainings with the staff. They're doing their best to be in touch with them on a monthly basis. Sometimes if someone just stops returning your emails, it's hard. You got to kind of get out there on site, and you know, we try our best to do that. But I think it's really designing the company to fit the need of the customer versus trying to take something that you've seen work in a different industry or at a different company. So that creation of that CSM role that sits at the heart of our customer success organization is a big part of it.
No, love that. And then that kind of ties into the next thing I wanted to really dial in on. This is especially important to companies that are in the space. So for you, you came from Salesforce and then jumped into multifamily. So at Salesforce, you sell to, it's B2B, this industry is B2B, but it's in a lot of ways very, very unique.
Yeah.
So what were some of those differences and things you've learned from selling to other companies versus selling into the multifamily space?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Before Salesforce, I was actually with a property technology company in Singapore called StreetSign. Think of them as like the Zillow of the Singaporean island. And so that's where I started to get, I think, a little bit familiar with PropTech and just like some of the things that make it unique. And then I'd say when I went to Salesforce, I learned a lot about the power of platforms for businesses. And the thing that I liked about Dwello was that it was very tangible. It was very relatable. When I would describe, you know, platform as a service to my friends and family, their eyes would roll back in their heads. Who cares? It's very esoteric. But when you started to talk about something like smart apartments, people were like, yeah, of course. I would love to do that. So there's a lot of similarities in that selling a smart apartment deal is very much like selling a big platform software deal. It's like putting a Salesforce in at a 1,000-person company. It's like putting an ERP system in. You need to focus on that implementation, the professional services associated with getting it in so that engagement is high. But the thing that I wasn't as familiar with was the to-C, right? So the B2B is very similar. Upfront positioning, the need for those implementation resources, doing that investment, super important. But then having to learn a lot about, okay, you have your customer that buys from you, but then you end up having all of these other customers in the form of managers and residents, then you've got to figure out how to meet them where they're at, how to engage, how to create a CSM function that's going to meet the needs of the managers, how to create a really robust customer service organization that's going to be able to meet the needs of the residents. So I think that we were able to borrow some of the sort of best practices that I learned when I was at Salesforce and when David was at Salesforce. But then, realizing that there's a limitation to the applicability because of the differences within multifamily. And so then just really staying focused on the user and the customer, and then doing our best to reflect that with the way that we put our business together.
Yeah. And it sounds like you definitely figured it out. Because
I would say we figured. I would say we are intentional about it. We work hard to try to adjust the way that the business scales and do it in a way that stays connected to the needs of the customer. And we're not perfect by any means, but I think that our heads are in the right place when we're trying to design the way the company is going to scale, and we're going to be scaling.
Yeah. Here, so. I was going to say, you guys have definitely figured out something because
we have a philosophy about it. Yeah.
If you get to that milestone, you have figured something out. So what happened today?
Yeah, so today we announced that we're officially merging with Level Home. Yeah. So Level Home is an incredibly innovative company based out of Redwood City, California. So they really have revolutionized the way that a smart lock works, focusing first on the deadbolt, just because there are the most deadbolts in the world. And so if we're trying to have an impact on the access experience for consumers, that's where they wanted to start. And what they effectively did is, if you look at all smart locks at this point, at their heart, they're using a 1937 patent for the bolt effectively means you've got to put this back pressure and you put these giant battery packs in the back of the door that have to turn a lever. It's really inefficient. So they set out to just completely change the way that works. And they're the lock that they have. They've got a couple of them, but it puts everything inside the actual door. So inside the actual bolt. So a big focus for us is retrofitting existing assets. There's a lot more retrofits than there are new construction that comes out of the ground. So early on when we started to get to know Level, they had a real focus on quality of design and creating the best possible experience for the consumer. But they also had that vision for the way that we're going to win in this market is by focusing on the existing stuff and creating something that's going to be able to sort of go in seamlessly, not change the aesthetics of the door, of the home, of the community, right? But it's going to be able to sort of meet that, match the aesthetic, do the job, but do it in an invisible way, not in this sort of obtrusive, massive thing that gets slapped on the door kind of way. So anyway, Level Home, based out of California, they've really revolutionized the way that the smart lock works. And so we're merging with them. And the idea here is that by bringing differentiated hardware together with our platform, we're going to be able to create experiences in multifamily and in single family that are going to just sort of revolutionize the way that people think about smart apartments, smart homes, everything along those lines.
Nice, congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
And you guys also finalized the raise.
Yeah, and so as part of that merger, we also raised the Series C for Level, a $100 million investment from Cox. So biggest private telecommunications company in the United States. And Cox is the sort of standard when it comes to telecommunications for multifamily. And they have a lot of customers. They're a smart group. They listen to their customers. They know that more and more, in addition to how people get their internet, they're also interested in understanding how do we benefit from this Internet of Things? How do we benefit from smart apartments? And so we've been talking to them for quite a while. And when we sort of announced that we were merging, they were ecstatic about becoming a partner and making a big investment to help us really scale up our operations, be able to serve them and their customers in addition to the customers that we have independently.
Wow, no, that's tremendous.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So, I mean, it does show that you guys have figured something out.
We figured some things out. Now we gotta continue to apply it and scale it, which is it's a new set of challenges, but we've got some great partners with Level and with Cox, and we're psyched.
So after all these years, I imagine you have an amazing amount of data and insights you've seen from how residents interact with the smart home tech or the savings from the property manager side and operator side. So what have been some of those key learnings or insights you have found?
So one of the things that we're really focusing on is actually productizing a lot of the data that we have. We have hundreds of thousands of sensors that are out there, and there's a lot that can be gleaned.
So I imagine there has to be.
There's a lot of data there. And what we're trying, what we're focusing on a lot right now is really the products that we've made to date have been for residents and for managers. But there is this data product that is sitting there that's untapped that the owner is really interested in. And you heard it in all the sessions at OpTech this week. So it's figuring out what's the way in which we should surface that data. What's the relevant data that people a lot of these sessions you hear data.
Mm-hmm.
We want it. We love it. It's great. It's like, what data? There's a lot of data, right? Yeah. So like, what is the data that you actually are interested in? Is it to help you design your buildings more effectively? Is it to help you increase resident retention? Is it to help you understand how long it takes for a unit to turn and how expensive that is? So we've been able to harvest a lot of data, but yeah. So I would say to your original question, like, what did we learn from the data? I would say that things that start well go well. So if you get engagement out of the gates with residents, this is going to become part of the way that they you know, live their lives. They're going to engage with technology. They're going to do it often. If you don't start well, it's hard to get that adoption. The other thing that we found from the data is engaged managers mean engaged residents. Mm-hmm. So where you see the managers using their tool set, their applications, you're going to have a correlation between residents using the applications themselves. People use it on the access front. They use it all the time. Yeah. It's replacing their keys, whether they're using a code, whether they're using the application to get into the actual building access points. It's incredibly popular. It's the way that folks engage with it the most often. Thermostats and lights, people are using that as well, but I would say access is really where the majority of the usage is happening. And that tells us a lot of things just about where people are spending their time. I think that can be informative for when we're thinking about what should we value in new developments, what should we value in existing assets when we're doing rehabilitations. And then being able to partner with groups to make sense of the energy savings data, to make sense of the various leak events and figuring out like, okay, can we work with insurance providers in order to be able to affect premiums that someone would be able to pay because of these things that we're doing to kind of proactively prevent costs from hitting them? So yeah, we have a lot of data. We're working now to, I think, get with the customer to figure out what data is going to be important, how they want to consume that data, so that it doesn't just become another fire hose, just kind of shooting them with a lot of data points without having there being too much direction behind it.
So based on what you guys already have, like, what are some of those things that as an operator they should be thinking about from the data? Like, are there already hypotheses you all have for how that can change either construction, amenities that they do?
Sure, I would say, I think fundamentally, when you're thinking about making an investment in a new building or how you want to improve an existing asset that you've acquired, you should start by putting down the right foundation for access control. So that's building access, that's also unit access, that's integrating it together. It's something that affects the residents and the staff on a daily basis. Yeah. They interact with those access points all of the time. And if you're not thinking about how to put both of those things on a single platform and make it a very seamless experience for everybody that's moving around the community to do so, you're not thinking about it the right way.
Yeah.
And you can put your gyms in the right place, you can focus on the right amenity spaces, you can do all those things. But if it's a choppy, you know, there's a lot of friction in the actual movement throughout the community, it's a suboptimal experience. And there's enough technology that's out there, the cost is really not prohibitive anymore, where you can do it. You just have to be focused on that when you're acquiring that building, you're putting together your capital budgets for the new buildings. So I'd say that's the thing that the data has been, you know, shouting at us for a long time. And I think people are coming around to it, but it takes time, as you know.
And I also love the earlier point about how engagement from residents is correlated directly with engagement from the on-site or site teams.
Sure.
If they're not using it, the residents are not using it.
Yep.
And all of that is so impactful because one of the things you mentioned earlier too is at a conference like this, everything is very high level, very theoretical, but where technology really makes a difference is when you are very practical, whether it's with the implementation, the refresh trainings, and then just overall with overall like customer success. So love all of that.
So, sounds like very like-minded with
that's like all the things that we see as well too. So it's nice to like see some of that data actually like prove it out.
It's good. And I think we're gonna become more sophisticated in our way to interpret the data and then I think use the data to drive the right practical conversations so that we can stop being up here and we can start to be down here. And I think once we can get to that level, we're gonna start to see some more meaningful, rapid change.
Yeah. The one thing I would love to see more like conferences like these are like the actual on-site team members.
Yeah.
Like you meet a lot of the VPs, which is great, but we'd love to see like, hey, I'm like a property manager.
Yeah.
I actually use this and this is what it's going to look like.
Sure.
Yeah. So if you could wave a wand to solve like one problem in the industry, like what problem would you want to solve?
I think what you just described would be a great place to start. You know, when you're developing a building or you're acquiring the building, you have this sequence of events and the decisions you make upstream in the early part of planning, they are going to dictate the way everything else goes. And if you can bring the folks into the conversation that are meaningful in step 10, if you can have them be included in step one conversations, the odds that the experience for the owners, for the developers, for the contractors, for the managers, for the residents is going to be better is higher. It just is. It takes work. It takes getting, you know, managers to conferences like this, spending the money to make sure that their voices and perspectives are heard. I think that was a big thing that happened. It was discussed in the opening talk that was done here was, you know, the industry needs to value the staff. They need to value the managers and leasing agents and the maintenance folks because this is very much a business where the way that they do their work, it affects the overall product that they're delivering. And so if they're gonna be a stakeholder that is so key, let's hear from them. Let's have them be involved in making the big decisions that impact the way that these communities are gonna be run.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And then last question for you, what are your top 3, 1, or 2 predictions for the next few years in the industry?
Yeah, you know, I think we've started to see that there is a lot of investment that's all of a sudden being trained on multifamily, specifically sort of on the smart apartment side of things. I think what you've seen is that there's been some business model pioneering that's happened in multifamily where you're able to see that you can build recurring revenue businesses around hardware and experiences in a way that we've not really seen be successful in the consumer side. So everybody wants to build software companies.
Yep.
And now that we're starting to see that.
So it's sexy, easy to scale.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But IoT companies, not so easy to scale. But I think just the fact that this is an industry where you have the opportunity to do that business model pioneering, to drive that recurring revenue, I think that's going to attract the attention of the most innovative device makers in the world, like Level Home, the most innovative platforms in the world. It's just going to be something that is not an afterthought when we're developing our products and our platforms. It's going to be more thought of at the onset of, hey, which stuff should we be developing? Why should we be developing it? The multifamily industry is a great place to apply those technologies and to build those kinds of businesses. So I think you're going to see more investment and more talent coming into the industry and working on solving these problems.
Nice. I love it.
Cool.
Thanks so much, Ned. Appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Congrats again on the race.
Thank you.